All right. Take your Bibles tonight and turn once again to Hebrews 13 and Ephesians 5, the two passages that we dealt with last Sunday evening. Ephesians 5 and Hebrews 13. I'll give you a moment there to find those two places. We're talking about living a holy or sanctified life. And we saw last Sunday night how that Jesus gave Himself for us, not only that He might save us from death, hell, and destruction, but that He might sanctify us for Himself. We asked the question, what does it mean when it says that He might sanctify the people? What does it mean that He might sanctify us? Well, the word sanctify and holy come from the same word that means to be set apart for a special, particular purpose. God sets us apart for His special, particular purpose, but we are also to set ourselves apart for God's special, particular purpose. And we saw last week, if you'll remember, we took a look at some of the Old Testament passages that talked about God sanctifying things such as the Sabbath day and how He sanctified Mount Sinai and the people of God and how He sanctified the vessels in the temple, everything to do with the temple, the tabernacle in the wilderness. Everything was sanctified. And we saw how that some folks really didn't take God's sanctification seriously, did they? And it caused them some problems. We saw how that God takes this thing very seriously. So this is something we need to know about, because if we're sanctified by God, God takes that serious. If we're to sanctify ourselves, God takes that serious, doesn't He? And we're told as believers to sanctify God in our hearts. In 1 Peter 3:15, it says, "But sanctify the Lord God in your heart, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear." So we see this matter of sanctification, and we need to understand some things about living a holy or sanctified life and how to live a holy or sanctified life. I want us to take a look at tonight. How is it accomplished? Okay. How is it accomplished? That's what we want to answer tonight. Does God do it or do we? And the answer is yes. Okay. The answer is yes. God, sanctification is both a work of God and a work of God's people. And I want you to see tonight, because God has sanctified us, we should sanctify ourselves. Now, I want to look at our text here tonight, and we begin here, and I want you to see that sanctification is, first of all, a work of God. And in the two passages that we have here as our text, we see that it is said specifically to be a work of Jesus. Now, let's look at Hebrews 13 first. Hebrews 13 in verse number 12. It says, "Wherefore Jesus also," notice this, "that He might sanctify the people with His own blood, suffered without the gate. Let us go therefore unto Him without the camp, bearing His reproach." So there's something we're to do in response to, because He thought enough of us to sanctify us with His own blood, we're to go forth bearing His reproach. And we're to sanctify ourselves to His work. There in Ephesians 5 and verse number 25 and 26. It says, "Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for it," says, "that He might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the Word." So Christ gave Himself for us that He might sanctify. And so we see here that sanctification is said to be a work of Jesus. And were it not for His precious blood, we could not be sanctified, could we? Now, all the sanctification that was done in the Old Testament, all of it looked forward to the reality that Jesus was one day going to give His life a ransom for us, and He was going to make it possible for things to be sanctified. Now, I want you to see that it's said not only to be a work of Jesus, but let's turn to some other passages tonight. And I'll try to give you time. I know it's difficult sometimes to keep up with me. And whenever I got a lot of scripture to turn to, go ahead and turn to 1 Corinthians 6 while I'm talking. 1 Corinthians 6. When I got a lot of scripture to turn to, I always want to be mindful that of your time. I know that only folks can only endure so much. I guess the present day way that things are done has gotten us that way. There was a time when folks could sit in church for 2 and 3 hours and didn't have a problem with it. Seriously. But when we've gotten used to 30-minute TV programs, 1-hour TV programs, and we think we got to get up and do something after 30 minutes or an hour, our attention spans have been drawn to that time, that kind of framework. And anything beyond that, we seem to begin losing. And so I don't want to lose you, your thoughts tonight. And so we'll take a look at these scriptures and we'll try to give you time to turn to them. And in 1 Corinthians chapter number 6 and verse number 9, we see that the sanctification is not only said to be a work of Jesus, but it's also a work of the Holy Spirit. Notice verse number 9. Paul says here, he says, "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God?" We stop there, and if you were just to read that passage and you look at your life, you say, "Oh man, I'm in trouble." But listen, Jesus came in, didn't he? Jesus came in and gave us his righteousness. Praise the Lord. He says, "Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revelers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God." We read that list and we think, mercy. Man, and I can find myself in there amongst all of that. I may not be doing that now, but I've done some of that in my day, right? You know, we can all find ourselves in there. And you know, you say, whew, you know, if you've done that, you can't inherit the kingdom of God except that the blood of Jesus has taken and washed us. Notice verse 11. He says, "And such were some of you." I like that. "Such were some of you, but ye are washed." I like that. You were that, but ye are now. You're washed. Ye are sanctified, but ye are justified. Notice this, "in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God." So we're washed and sanctified and justified by the Spirit. It's in the name of the Lord Jesus, but it's also by the Spirit of the Lord our God. The Holy Spirit comes to us and He begins His ministry in our life trying to draw us to the Savior. Aren't you glad for the convicting work, the convicting ministry, the Holy Spirit of God that showed you your need of salvation one day? He came to you and He showed you your need of salvation. He showed you Jesus and He showed you that your destiny and where you're going to wind up. You know, that God has a destiny for the devil and all of those folks that follow Him. And we know that if the devil's going to wind up in hell and you continue to follow him, that's where you're going to wind up. You need Jesus in your life. Amen. And in Jesus, the Holy Spirit drew you to the Lord Jesus Christ. And when you came to Jesus, you were washed, you were sanctified, and you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus based upon the blood of Jesus being shed for your sins. But the Holy Spirit of God did that work in our hearts. Praise God. Look at 2 Thessalonians chapter number 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter number 2. In 2 Thessalonians in chapter number 2, we want to look at verse number 13. 2 Thessalonians chapter number 2 and verse number 13. It says here, "But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through," notice this, "salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth." And so we see again, Here, sanctification is said to be a work of the Spirit of God in our lives. That when salvation is brought into our lives, it's done not apart from the Holy Spirit of God. You know, the Holy Spirit is the author of this book. And you can't get saved apart from the Scriptures, can you? You can't. You know, I don't care what anybody says. I wouldn't give you a plug nickel for a tract that didn't have any Scripture in it. You know? I wouldn't give you a plug nickel for a sermon that doesn't have any Scripture in it. You know, people get up and just tell nice, glowing stories. You know, stories are maybe nice in some areas, but when you're talking about in the church, it ought to be preaching of the Word. Amen? We're not preaching our ideas. We're not preaching our thoughts. We're not preaching some stories that we've nice sounding stories that we heard somewhere. We're to preach the Word of God. And why is that? It's because the Holy Spirit of God takes the Word of God and He takes it to the heart and He does a work. Amen. He does that work of convicting. He does that work of salvation. And it's a sanctification, that sanctification work. Here that we see sanctification of the Spirit and the belief of the truth. I believe it's really tied closely to the sealing ministry also of the Holy Spirit. I think we're familiar with the sealing ministry, but I want to remind you of that. If you look at Ephesians chapter number 2, and you think about when we were saved, when the Holy Spirit of God came into our hearts and lives, And He did that work of salvation, showing us our need of salvation, showing us the Savior, and drawing us to the Savior, and we were saved by God's grace. Well, something transpired when that happened, and the Bible tells us here in Ephesians 2 in verse number 13. Well, let's look at verse 12 first. It says that we should be to the praise of His glory who first trusted in Christ. In whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth. Okay, we got saved after we heard the word. Again, you don't get saved apart from the word of God, because the Holy Spirit takes the word of God that He's the author of, and He takes it to the heart, and He's the one that does that work of salvation in the heart. In whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed. Notice this, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. Now think about, what have we said about sanctification? Sanctification says that we are set apart from something for a particular purpose, right? You're setting something apart for a particular purpose. And what the Holy Spirit did when He sealed us, He put God's name on our lives. Amen? He set us apart for God's particular purpose. We're set apart. We are God's. We have God's seal. We have the Spirit. Holy Spirit of God has sealed us and showed that we are sanctified and set apart unto God. Now, we've seen that sanctification is a work of Jesus, who's God. It's said to be a work of the Holy Spirit, who is God. It's also said to be a work of God the Father. Look at the little book of Jude, right there before Revelation. Right before the book of Revelation, you'll find the book of Jude. And we see that what Jude said here. Jude, in verse number 1. I'd tell you a chapter, except there's only one chapter. Amen? Amen. One of the little books. I've seen some of the programs that you have, Bible programs, they have difficulty, I think, doing anything without a chapter, so they always put chapter 1. Well, it's chapter 1 of 1. That's what it is. You know, Jude chapter number 1, verse number 1. You know, kind of silly whenever it's only one chapter and it's Jude verse number 1. Look at verse number 1. It says, Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ, brother of James, to them, notice this, that are sanctified by God the Father. We're sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ and called. Now listen, God is one, isn't He? our God is one. The Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy spirit. Amen. Well, everything about us ought to be about God. Right? But God and all three persons of the Godhead had a part in our sanctification. Let's go back and look at the children of Israel for just a moment. Look at Leviticus chapter number 20. Leviticus chapter number 20. And we see here that the Lord God Jehovah told Israel that He was the one who sanctified them. And it just makes sense that God would be the one who sanctifies us. In Leviticus 20 and verse number 26. Leviticus 20 and verse number 26. Notice what it says here. Leviticus 20, verse number 26 says, "And ye shall be holy unto me, for I, the Lord, am holy." Notice this. "And have severed you from other people, that ye should be mine." Now, the Lord is holy, right? He said, "Ye shall be holy unto me." Remember we said that the word holy and sanctified come from the same word. Yeah? When He says, "You shall be holy unto me, you shall be set apart unto me, you shall be sanctified unto me," that's what He's saying here. And notice how He says this. I'm the Lord am holy and have, He said, "I've severed you from other people that ye should be mine." And the Lord has severed us as believers. Same way He severed the children of Israel. We are His. Again, gets back to that sealing. We've been sealed. We're a child of God. Nothing's going to change about that. These Israelites, they could do what they wanted to, but they couldn't change the fact that they were Jews, could they? Like, you know, if you were born a Jew, you were a Jew, and God set you apart, and there were certain things because you were a Jew that were applicable to you. And the same thing true with us with regard to being a child of God. We are set apart. God has sanctified us, and we are His. He has set us apart to be His, and we should realize that. Now, 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5 and verse 23. I'm not going to have you turn back there, but it says this. 1 Thessalonians 5:23. It says, "And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly." Talking about wholly, holy. In other words, we're to be wholly sanctified. And said, "And I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." So, God's the one who sanctifies us. And sanctification is a work of God. But I want you to see, second of all, that sanctification is a work of God's people. Now, back here in Leviticus again, I want you to take a look at, that's the reason why I didn't have you turn, look at Leviticus 11 and verse 44. Hold your place there in chapter 20, because we're going to be right back there. But look at Leviticus 11 first. And we see there in verse number 44, Leviticus 11 and verse number 44, God says here, "For I am the Lord your God. Ye shall therefore sanctify yourselves, and ye shall be holy, for I am holy. Neither shall ye defile yourselves with any manner of creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." Now, notice what that once again. I want you to read that again. He says, "For I am the Lord your God." Okay, because God was their God, they were to sanctify themselves. What is that? How does that apply to us? Is God your God? Amen. You think God wants you to sanctify yourselves because He's your God? I guarantee you, just as much as He wanted the children of Israel to sanctify themselves. Look back at Leviticus 20 and verse number 7. Blah, blah, blah. I'm having trouble talking tonight. Sometimes the tongue don't want to work. I know nobody else has that problem, but sometimes I feel like that's all, folks. You know, with a Porky Pig. Hey, you ever feel that way? Sometimes you try to get the words out and they just won't come. Anyway, back to the serious nature here. Here in Leviticus chapter number 20 and verse number 26. Look at verse number 26. He said, verse number 7. I looked at the wrong place here. Look, verse number 7. He says, sanctify yourselves therefore and be ye holy, for I am the Lord your God. Okay? Sanctify yourself, be holy, for I am the Lord your God. Again, the sanctification is to be done because the Lord is our God. Joshua 3 and verse number 5, Joshua said to the people, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. You know, if we expect God to do wonders among us, what do we got to do? We got to sanctify ourselves, don't we? Look at 1 Thessalonians now. I want you to go over there and let's take a look. There's a very important passage telling us specifically that sanctification is the will of God for us as Christians. It's found in 1 Thessalonians in chapter number 4. In fact, this is a verse that if you don't have marked in your scripture, you ought to have it marked. I've got it highlighted in mine, and I believe it's a good thing to have it highlighted there, so that every time that you turn past that page, you'll see that highlight and you'll glance at it and you'll understand once again that it's the will of God for you to be sanctified. Look at 1 Thessalonians 4 and let's begin with verse number 1. But it says, furthermore then, we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as ye have received of us how ye ought to walk and to please God, so ye would abound more and more. Okay, remember that. Okay, Paul told folks how they ought to walk and please God, and he's telling them they should abound in that, and try to walk more and more like Christ, and walk more and more in ways that please God. So verse 2, he said, for ye know what commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus. And then verse 3 is where you need to highlight. It says here, for this is the will of God. You know, people all the time say, well, you know, I just want to know the will of God for my life. Well, there's this one thing that you can know what the will of God for your life is. It's just laid it out right here. We know the will of God for our life, number one, is salvation, don't we? We don't have to ask that question. God's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But once you're saved, here's the will of God for you. Verse 3 says, for this is the will of God, even your sanctification. That's it. That you should abstain from fornication. That every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor. So we're to learn how to possess this vessel that we have. And even though this is sinful flesh that we live in, we have been given God's Holy Spirit. And just as Christ was quickened by the Spirit, made alive again, He resurrected. And we're going to be talking about the resurrection here in the coming weeks with Easter coming. That resurrection in His life is the same power that we live a resurrected life in our own life. How do you live a sanctified life? Well, you live it by the resurrection power that you've been given by Christ. But you've got to choose to live in that. You possess your vessel in sanctification and honor. Now, look at 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. You say, Brother Jerry, you're going all over the place. Yep, we are. Okay, because it's necessary. I want the Holy Spirit of God to speak to you, okay? Don't want you to just take it from me. You know, I don't want you walking out of here and saying, well, you know, a preacher's just not satisfied with the way we're living. He just thinks that we can do all this by ourselves. No, I'm showing you what God says. And you don't do it all by yourself. God's got a work that He does. And by His grace and with His power, there's a work that to be done in your own life. 1 Peter chapter number 1 and verse number 13. 1 Peter 1, verse number 13 says that, wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, and be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Now, the idea of girding up the loins of your mind and being sober is to not be a sloppy thinker. Okay? When you think of girding up the loins, what they would do is they would take, you got to understand the clothing they had that day. If they didn't gather up what they were wearing and fasten it with a belt, gird up the loins. They couldn't walk and run like they should. And, you know, it took some preparation to do. And I think what he's saying here, Peter's saying, it takes some preparation. Okay? You need to prepare yourself and not be a sloppy thinker and hope to the end, so for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ as obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance. In other words, don't live like you used to live. Okay, you now have the ability to obey the Lord. Before you didn't have the ability to obey the Lord, did you? We didn't have the ability to please God. None of us pleased God. We didn't please God in anything we did before our salvation, did we? Nothing. Not one thing did we do to please God until we got saved. And when we got saved, then we had the ability to please God. And we're to be as obedient children, not fashioning ourselves according to that former way of life, the former lust that we did in our ignorance. He says that verse 15, but as he which hath called you is holy, God is separated. Amen. We've seen where God is sanctified. He's set apart. He said, as he's holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. That word conversation meaning behavior or manner of living. So we're to be holy in our behavior. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. Now, in relation to the Christian, sanctification or holiness refers to our being set apart from sin to God. It's not a matter of being sinless. There's not a one of us that's going to be sinless until we get home to be in heaven, right? I hope that you understand that tonight. Yeah, there's some churches that get off in some areas and they think that they can achieve sinless perfection while in this life. You ought to sin less, but you're not going to become sinless. Okay, we ought to sin less than we have before, but I want you to see it's not a matter of becoming sinless, but it's a matter of separating ourselves from sin in our lives so that we may yield ourselves to the Lord. So we see here that sanctification is both a work of God and a work of God's people. And I want you to see that the sanctification process begins with God. It begins with our salvation when we are positionally set apart in Christ. And the question of tonight is, have you been sanctified by God? Well, the answer to that is not if you haven't been born again. If you've been born again, yes, you have. Okay, so if you can answer the question, have you been born again? Have you been saved? Are you a child of God? If you have been, then you have been sanctified by God. So the sanctification process begins with God, begins with our salvation. That's our positional sanctification. Then the sanctification process continues with God. See, it begins with Him. It continues with Him. It continues as the Holy Spirit of God gradually changes the believer's life to give victory over sin. And we call that practical sanctification. You know, we have to define these words that we're talking about. That's why we talk about this stuff. You know, we just take and throw out, and you ought to be practically sanctified. Everybody had their own idea about what sanctification is talking about. Really, basically, sanctification is setting ourselves apart from sin unto God. And the Holy Spirit helps us in that area of practical sanctification. He gives us the power to grow as a Christian. And when we grow, we put away sin and we put on godliness in our lives, don't we? And that is Christian growth. Look at Ephesians chapter number 5 just a minute. Ephesians chapter number 5. This is not in my notes, but it just came to my mind. Okay, Ephesians 5. And this is that process that Paul is encouraging the Ephesus Christians here to grow in their sanctification. And he tells them here, look at Ephesians 5, and let's begin verse number 17. Ephesians 5, 17, he says, this I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, and excuse me, Ephesians 4, 17. I said Ephesians 5. It says Ephesians 5 at the top of my page. And it's in Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4, verse number 17. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having an understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. It says, but ye have not so learned Christ. Okay, if you're in Christ, those things are in the past. It's not, things are not the same anymore in your life. He says, verse 21, if so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former behavior, that conversation, former conversation, we say that word means behavior, former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust. Now, do we still have the old man with us? Yeah, he's there. Okay, and he's corrupt, but we've got to put him off, don't we? We have to put him off in our lives. That's what he says there, that you put off concerning the former behavior, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Now, what renews our mind? What makes it new again? The Word of God. Amen. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy Word is truth. That's what Jesus prayed, didn't he? Look at verse 24. He says, and that you put on the new man. Not only were to put off the old man, but we're to put on the new man, which after God, it says here, is created in righteousness and true holiness. Remember, holiness, sanctification, same word. True sanctification, true holiness. There it is. He put on the new man, which after that new man is created in righteousness and true holiness, true sanctification. And so that's why we're to put off and put on. Put off the old man, put on the new man. Put off Adam, put on Christ. Amen. That old man came from Adam. Put off the old desires that we have. God's put in some new desires there, and we're to live by the new desires, not by the old desires. We're to live according to the new man, not according to the old man. When we were just old men, when we were just had the old man there, we didn't have Christ in our life, we couldn't do anything but live in the old man. Couldn't even do anything but live in that old conversation, that old manner of living, that old behavior, which was corrupt, and it was full of deceitful lust. But let's notice on, look at what he says about putting away different things, putting off certain things and putting on certain things. Look at verse 25. He says, wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor. We are members one of another. Be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, the same the thing which is good that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed, and there's that sealing once again, unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you. Why should we put away that? Because that's associated with the old man. The old man was full of bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor. You find any of that stuff in Jesus? No. See, the new man is created in righteousness and true holiness after the Lord Jesus Christ. So we're to put off in our lives if we're full of bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking. And malice. If we're full of those things, we're living according to the old man. Doesn't mean that we're lost, but it does mean that we're living according to the old man. So we put away from you with all malice and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. So the sanctification process, it begins with God. The sanctification process continues with God. As the Holy Spirit of God shows us how to put off the old man, put on the new man, and that's Christian growth, whereby we put away sin and put on godliness. And then we know, of course, the sanctification process is going to end one day with God. Amen?
When we are called home to be with God, God will perfect us. He will fully bring us into conformity with Christ, and our sanctification will be complete. Listen, the old man will be put off. I love what 1 Corinthians 15 talks about. 1 Corinthians 15 talks about we shall be changed. Amen? That old man is going to be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. And we won't have to worry about the old man anymore. We will have full sanctification at that point. He will fully bring us into conformity with Christ, and our sanctification will be complete, and He will wholly and forever set us apart from sin unto Himself. But until then, we are in that process. We are in that practical sanctification mode. And what we're going to take a look at in the weeks to come. Next week we're going to look at how do believers participate in God's sanctifying work. How do you do it? And there are certain things that are given to us by God's Holy Spirit in the Bible. He's given us some things, some practical things that we need to work on. And I'm going to share with you over the next 2 weeks. I'm not going to give you all 12 of them next week. We're going to look at about 5 of them next week, and we're going to look at about 7 of them the following week. But there are 12 things from Scripture that I've found that will help us do our part in participating in God's sanctifying work in our life. Amen? And we all need that, don't we? I know I need it. I need it just as much as you do. You know, a lot of folks, they look at the preacher and say, well, preacher, I thought you sanctified already. Well, I am sanctified, but I still need sanctification. I still have to sanctify myself, just like you do. And I still have areas where the old man tries to creep up, just like you do. Ain't nothing different, okay? I put my shoes on one at a time, you know. Unless I'm sitting down, I may put them both on at the same time. I have to tie them one at a time, but I have the same problems, and the only thing is is God that gives us the help, whether it be you or whether it be me, to have these things accomplished in our lives. So, first question: are you sanctified tonight? That first sanctification: are you saved? If not, we ask you to come. If you are, realize that sanctification is a work of God. He has set you apart unto Himself. Jesus did it. Holy Spirit did it. God the Father did it. And it's also a work of God's people. We have a part in it. And it is the will of God. One thing I can tell you, it is the will of God for you to be sanctified. That you should know how to possess your vessel in sanctification and honor. Amen. Let's bow in prayer. Father, we thank you tonight for the Word of God, the Holy Spirit of God, the words that were given to holy men of old as they penned what the Holy Spirit told them to pen. And Lord, the Holy Spirit takes those words to our hearts and lives and makes them alive in our lives. This is a living book because it's written by a living Spirit. And Lord, we're alive today, and we're alive, but not just physically, but we're alive spiritually because of that Holy Spirit's work in our lives. And we thank you so much for setting us apart unto yourself. We're yours. And God, because we're yours, you expect us to do our part in the sanctification work. Help us, Lord, to put off the old man, put off the new, day by day. Lord, as we see in Scriptures, the things, this is why it's so important to get into the Word of God, and study the Word of God, and read the Word of God, so that you might quicken our hearts and help us to see those things that need to be put off in our lives, and the things that need to be put on in our lives. Help us with these things. None of us are adequate for any of this stuff. All of us need help, Lord. And we just ask for your help in these areas. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's stand, please. We're going to have the hymn of invitation.